and welcome to yet another episode of Let's Talk About. You found us, but what have you found us doing? Well, today we're finding Dory. And by we, I mean me, Fisherman Elliot, and of course, my friend, Seaman Seb.
Hello, Elliot. I'm Seb.
Oh, I get the reference. Oh. And if you guys get the reference too, that must have mean you've seen Finding Dory, or maybe even Finding Nemo. Who knows? Hmm. So we're going to talk all things Finding today, whether it be Nemo, whether it be Dory.
The Will to Live.
Whether it be... it's true. Waldo.
Oh.
All these things. So, Finding Dory, the definitive sequel to Finding Nemo. So many questions that need to be asked. So many answers we need to hear. But the first one I want to ask, Seb, is before the wheel was spun on this delightful little movie, had you ever seen this movie before?
Oh, I wasn't sure what you were going to ask then, but I have seen this movie. I'm pretty sure I watched it at the cinema back when it came out in 2016, which was 13 years after the first film, which I also saw in the cinema. As an adult, I think, yeah, it would have been at that time. And that's the only time I'm pretty sure I've seen it. Yourself?
Yeah, I saw it. I'm guessing at the cinema as well. So, like, I remember seeing this movie, and I'm sure I've seen it more than once. But I can't remember the situations I was in when my eyes were presented with this piece of art.
Oh, it's funny you mention that, because I think you'll find the main character quite relatable then from this film.
Oh, this is true. Wait, what was the film?
Oh.
Well, you know, we might have some of our audience not understanding what we're doing. So, Seb, could you perhaps explain the world of Finding? I don't know what this franchise is called now.
The Finding franchise.
A brief synopsis of the first movie, which I suppose might contain some spoilers, and then a brief synopsis of the one we watched, the sequel, Finding Dory.
Okay, so I can talk about Finding Nemo. We have done that, haven't we? We must have done.
We have indeed. We had this debate last time.
That's right, and I don't remember us doing it. Cool, okay. So the plot for the first one is effectively after his son is captured in the Great Barrier Reef and taken to Sydney, a timid clownfish sets out on a journey to bring him home. So classic quintessential Pixar film. Marlin goes through character development of, you know, trusting other people and not being overprotective, which we probably would have talked about at the time, but I think is justified overprotection because of what happens to his family. He meets Dory in the first film, who is a, I don't know what type of fish she is, but she's blue, but she has short-term memory loss. But she remembers things when she's with Marlin, so that's quite nice. And, you know, save the day, etc. They all live happily ever after. So this movie then picks up after that one. It's not a spoiler, but the intro for this goes through parts of Dory's life. And then it cuts to, like, when she meets Marlin, which was quite cool. As you see, like, from that perspective, the updated CGI. Then it cuts to 1 year later where they're at their like, kind of house. So that's where this film starts. If you want to know what this film is about,
please.
You've guessed it. It's about Finding Dory because, well, it's called that, but are they finding... Oh, no, I guess they are, aren't they? Yeah. I was about to say, was this like her finding herself, like metaphorically? And then I forgot the entire rest of the plot of the film is them literally looking for her. So I'll give you the IMDb synopsis because why not? Friendly but forgetful Blue Tang Dory begins a search for her long-lost parents, and everyone learns a few things about the real meaning of family along the way. This is her kind of remembering her family, because the whole point is that she doesn't know her family, and then she goes on the journey to find them. So that's the thrust of this film. Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, it's Finding Dory, but really, there's a lot of people searching for a lot of things in this movie.
Yeah.
And I actually think one of the least parts is people finding Dory.
Yeah.
Apart from maybe the parents, maybe?
They're trying to find her. Although, are they? Marlin and Nemo are trying to find her.
I'm trying to not go too much into spoilers. But yeah, there's a lot of finding going on in this movie. And yeah. Maybe we'll talk about that more later on. Now, one thing I do remember is seeing that Finding Dory had been announced. And Finding Nemo, if you want to know our full thoughts, you can find our apparently imaginary episode, Let's Talk About Finding Nemo. But in short, that was a film that we both loved, I seem to remember. I know I loved it. It's like a quintessential Pixar movie.
Yeah.
It's just incredible. Great storytelling, great character arcs, all that jazz.
Yeah, holds up.
And then Finding Dory got announced, and there was a trailer, and I was like, really? Do we need to go through this again? Or did you have a similar thought? Did you think differently?
I mean, I can't remember my thoughts at the time, but I feel like I probably would have said something like that. Because, again, I'm thinking about the other Pixar sequels at this time. We'd had, obviously, Toy Story 2 and 3, I'm pretty sure, by this point. And we obviously would have had the Cars sequels, at least number 2, I'm guessing number 3 as well. Toy Story, the sequels are very good. Some people think they're better than the first one. The Cars sequels, I don't know if people love the first one as much, really, but I don't think they love the sequels. I think I quite like the second one from...
For some strange reason, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know why. So again, it's like, are they kind of just running out of ideas? Because by this point, we've had the really big hitters of like Wall-E and Ratatouille and Up. So it's a bit like, oh, so yeah, that I think I would have had the same thoughts.
Yeah. But yet here we are. We watched it and we've seen it recently. I watched it yesterday while I was at work in lots of parts.
Wow.
Seb's learning I don't really do much work while I'm at work. You watched it last night?
I did. I was going to watch the Europa League final, but my wife was like, you can't watch it after because it'll be too late. So I watched them at the same time.
Ah, that makes sense. Yeah. And I'll ask you in a minute which one was more entertaining. But I suppose the big question is, what do we think?
That's a great question. And I'd love to field that one for you, Elliot. So I went into this thinking, okay, it's a prequel. Because in my head, that's what this film was. And then it starts, and you see, honestly, baby Dory, very cute. The giant eyes is just very funny. And that scene was really nice. And I was like, yeah, okay, it's definitely a prequel. And then it cuts to, later on, it's like, oh, it's not. Because I was then remembering, oh, it's not a prequel, it is a sequel. So I think that's why I was hesitant. I thought, oh, this is going to be rubbish. I don't really want to watch this. And then it was a sequel. I was like, oh, yeah. And then But I still didn't really remember much of the plot. But I was in pretty much straight away for this one. Because you think, oh, how are they going to make this interesting? And, you know, we see all our characters again. And I think because I hadn't seen it for a long time as well, it is quite nice. It would have been similar at the time. It's quite a long time since we saw these characters. And then I think the story is quite strong, and the new characters that we meet I really liked as well, and I think had some really interesting ideas, some good execution, and just a really heartwarming story, and I think this is a worthy sequel.
Ah, interesting. See, I fall into the camp of I think it's a good movie. Like, I at no point yesterday when I was watching it thought, oh, I have to put this back on. I was invested. But it's also one of those films where looking back on it, I don't think I'm ever going to think to myself, oh, you know what I really want to put on? Finding Dory. Whereas I think there's a lot of movies where if someone suggested, oh, should we watch this movie? I'm going to think, yeah, Okay, even some obscure ones like The Black Cauldron or the other one with the guy and, you know, all that stuff. Ichabod, that's the one.
Oh, Ichabod Crane, yes.
But for this one, it just seemed, it was, for me, it was just Finding Nemo again with a few different characters which kind of done the same thing as the old characters, but just not as well. And for me, if I wanted to watch a movie like that, I would just go straight to Finding Nemo.
Yeah,
I think it was okay.
You run the risk with films like that where it's too similar. It's like, I've not seen them, but like the criticism of the Hangover films is that it's just kind of like the same plot over and over again. And I think with like Toy Story as a good example is, I think number two is fairly different from the first one. I know it's the same thing of like, you know, trying to find a lost toy, or whatever. But it's a very different setup, and I think that really works. And again, the third one is very different entirely. And again, I think that one worked when we reviewed it. I've not seen the fourth one, so I don't know. And for this one, yeah, because they're obviously, you know, without swallowing stuff, they go to a place that's like obviously the human place, and they're in like the fish tanks, and it's very reminiscent of Finding Nemo, where Nemo's with all the other fish there. And then obviously like they're going through the ocean, and there's a few little beats repeated. So you always, and I think that's part of nostalgia as well. So I think, yeah, of the two films, I think the first one is better. It's obviously more original, but I just think it is more timeless. Whereas this one, I don't know really, because I think you're right about the characters. I think Marlin, he learns stuff from the first film, but he's kind of still got a bit of that in this film. But I also think that's quite realistic because, you know, he learned to trust other people. He learned to not be overprotective of Nemo. But he's also right in saying, you know, Dory keeps forgetting stuff. And she's a, you know, that can be potentially dangerous. So it's interesting seeing him come to terms with that. What I thought this film does really well is, you know, showing how you can kind of overcome stuff like short-term memory and how you can be supportive and stuff like that. And I think it does some other really nice stuff with the other characters. So I think it does enough there, but it definitely has a lot of beats that are similar.
I think for me as well, though, that Finding Nemo, for me, is like the Fellowship of the Ring.
Oh.
Because when I think of Fellowship of the Ring, is it's in clear, distinct segments, and every single one's exciting as the other.
Yeah.
You've got the introduction. You then got the Shire. You then got the travelling over to the pub. And I could go through every single one of those things.
Yeah.
And at no point am I thinking, oh, that's a boring part. It's all very, very interesting.
Mm.
Where, and it's the same with Finding Nemo. It maybe not to that extent.
No.
In terms of excitement. But all the different parts, I think, are iconic. You've got Nemo being lost. You've got the bumping into Dory.
Mm.
You've got the sharks with Bruce.
Yeah, Bruce.
You know, you've got the going deep underwater and finding the fish and then finding the goggles. And every single sort of like section is so iconic and so good. Whereas for me, I mean, I've not really got many notes here because a lot of it was just for me either the same old or just not exciting. Like I said, I was invested. It's a good movie. I think if you enjoyed Finding Nemo and you haven't seen Finding Dory, you should definitely give it a go because it's just, it's more of that, which is great. But yeah, it's not the be all and end all for me. Although I did like that it was only an hour and a half.
Yeah, that helps.
That's always good. I liked the bit that you said about how it kind of like links into the first one.
Mm.
For a little bit, and how they brought the animation up so that it all links in smoothly. I thought that was great. But it's also got some similar things to the first one, as we've just said, but one of them being like the really sad start.
Yeah.
Like, kind of like a Pixar classic.
Yeah, that's true.
That is. Just bringing it in. And I like, there's a lot of, like, I think you mentioned it, there's a lot of links into the first one as well, bringing back old characters, old sayings, different things like that. I really liked all that, again, from a nostalgia point of view.
I don't think they overdo it too much either, which helps.
Yeah, I agree. But one thing this film is, and we can talk about it more in spoilers, is, especially for me, by the last third, is it's just frustrating.
Okay.
It seems to be whenever you think you've achieved something, yeah. you haven't. It's like it's two steps forward, one step back. Mm. And it's just, by the end, it just got a bit ridiculous for me.
Okay.
It stopped being entertaining. It started being more, why does this keep happening? I understand they have to extend the movie. I understand we have to do this.
Mm.
And I suppose Finding Nemo was kind of the same thing, but it was all going to the end goal. But yeah, it's somehow the goal of this kept changing and it wasn't. But again, we'll talk about that more.
Yeah.
In the spoilery part of this. But yeah, it's a good movie. I just don't think it was needed. And that's me. I'm going to shut up now.
Oh, that's very... I'd say it's controversial. I don't think it is. I mean, this got a 7.2. The original got an 8.2. I think this is definitely one of those where you go, did it need a sequel? Probably not. I think Toy Story is quite a rich kind of world where you can justify stuff like that. I don't know if Cars is the same. but... Yeah, this one felt like a bit of like kind of meandering. Like there's a few scenes where, you know, they're in the pram, they're like trying to find the place, and it's like it's just a little bit of a different vibe to the first one. I think you are right. The first one is a very lean story. It's very kind of going to get to this bit and then this bit and then this bit. Whereas this one, I don't know. Yeah, I think you are definitely right about the ending. I'll be intrigued to talk about that, the frustration. Because I think with the first film, I don't think there was really much of that because everything made sense and there wasn't like 100 near misses because that would just be very frustrating. I would say for this film, I liked the new characters we meet. We'll talk a bit more about them. The big one, which we see fairly soon, is the octopus.
Mm, yes.
I thought he's quite an interesting character anyway, and I like his discussions with Dory. I wasn't fully paying attention, maybe I kind of should have done, but I thought that was quite interesting because again you can see the obviously his development through the film. But I think he's a very cool character as well. I love when he's in the like the kind of office at the medical center and he's like blending into everything, and then we get that in the credits as well, and that was actually really fun because I was like, it gets to each new scene, you're trying to look for him. It's like a Where's Waldo. So yeah, I thought that was quite a cool inclusion. What did you think of the new characters?
Yeah, I liked them all. Here's the thing, there wasn't a particular character I thought, ugh, why is this person
yeah.
here? I liked the crazy bird, Becky, which
yeah.
we'll talk about later, I'm sure. There was two sea lions.
Yes.
I think that's what they were anyway. Or seals, one of the two.
Yeah.
And they were great.
Gerald, get off!
There's also some more characters, which I won't go too much detail again for later, but I liked the two whales.
Yeah.
That you meet. I liked both of them.
Did you like Sigourney Weaver?
I did like Sigourney Weaver playing herself, yes. That was nice. That was a nice yeah. surprise. That's me, like, I liked all of these characters. None of them were bad, but at the same time there was none that I loved, you know. That first one,
yeah.
I loved Bruce, you know, that was great. I liked his little sidekicks and and their little 12-step program,
yeah.
as well as like some of the other sort of compadres you made on the way, you know, who was with Nemo in the fish tank.
Yeah, I was thinking about this earlier when you said it, because yeah, the three sharks are iconic and it's such a great scene. But yeah, you really get to spend a lot of time with those fish in the tank, especially the main guy with the damaged fin, because then you see the kind of parallels of Nemo. And I think when you think of the film, you kind of picture that. Whereas this one, I think I vaguely remember, to be fair, I forgot a lot about it. As soon as I saw the octopus, I remembered. I think he's quite iconic in this one. But yeah, in terms of the other characters in this film, there's not the same kind of thing. I mean, you could say, because it's a sequel, we already know the main characters, so we get to spend a bit more time with them. It's like how the best scenes in the MCU are when we're hanging out with the Avengers that we already know, because we like them. So it was nice spending a bit of time with these guys, but, you know, I don't know.
Yeah. But anyway, those are our thoughts on Finding Dory. You've got me, who thinks it's a good movie, but probably didn't... I wouldn't be sad if it didn't exist, but it was good, you know. I think if you haven't seen it, but you like the first one, definitely watch it. And you've got Seb, who really likes it, almost on par with the first one he started off with, but now I feel like it's drifted away.
Well, yeah, I mean, I said it was a worthy sequel, because I'm just looking at a few of the like kind of top reviews here. One of them says, a worthy sequel to a great film, which I think is kind of where I lean on this one. The other person says, if it was a standalone, it would be great, but yeah, dot, dot, dot. And I think that's kind of how I feel. It's not as good as the first one, but I enjoyed it, and I think it does enough stuff to be interesting. I think this could have been a really bland thing, especially when I thought, oh, am I even going to like this? Because Dory is sometimes a really annoying character, but I felt like she was actually quite endearing through this film. And I think that's the problem, isn't it? It's like, if you pick the wrong protagonist, you'll have, like, I've not seen it, but a big criticism of Star Trek Discovery is the main character, Michael, she's like Klingon, so she doesn't have any emotions. And it's like, well, that's not interesting to see. So if Dory was really annoying, then I wouldn't have liked this film. So the fact she wasn't means it's okay.
That's good. In fact, I think that's wonderful. Well done. Right, we're now going to really go into depth into this movie.
Oh,
so if you haven't seen this movie and you don't want it spoiled, head off now.
Yeah.
But if you have seen this movie, or you're just a crazy person, well, you can hang about and hear about what we're going to say.
Let's dive in.
And I'm going to start off with a couple of the bits that I actually did really enjoy. Three bits. There are three standout moments for me in this movie.
Okay.
One is the two seals, sea lions, whatever they are, on their rock. And then you've got, I can't remember the name, but the dopey one.
Gerald.
Trying to get on the rock.
I love it because they're in the middle of a conversation with Marlin and Nemo. And then they, for the peripheral vision, they just notice Gerald's trying to get on. And they're like, they stop mid-conversation and go, Gerald, get off!
It's beautiful. Then in that same scene, you meet Becky, which is like this crazy bird who's like obviously smarter than what everyone thinks she is.
Yeah.
But it's phenomenal. Good old Becky. The other one was, you talked about the octopus, which I liked. Again, I think for one of what I would call a main character, wasn't the most drawing for me, but it was still good. I liked the scene he first meets Dory.
Yeah.
Because obviously she keeps forgetting things and him trying to have that conversation with her. He's just like, cool, I really want your tag.
Yeah.
And she's just like, no, my tag. And then she's like, oh, but you can have it if you help me get to this. He's like, okay, I'm going to help you get to here by doing this. And then she's like, oh, cool, I wish I had something to give to you. How about this tag?
Yeah.
And that for me was comedy gold. And that's probably the only time I laughed out loud. But wow, it was... That's a great scene. I like that one. Any standout moments for you?
Yeah, I think probably similar. I really like the introduction because, you know, they talk about how octopus is actually quite intelligent. They can solve puzzles and, like, if they're in a jar, they can kind of unscrew it from the inside. And seeing the camouflage was really quite cool. And that happens a bit throughout the film. And it's quite cool to seeing a competent character, like he's really good at kind of getting through all these problems. But he, you know, he comes across as like being all scruff and, you know, oh, I just want to go out to the whatever. But he, you know, it's the heart of gold kind of thing. You know, he does care and, you know, he wants them to, you know, succeed in everything. And he wants to help, which was nice. I quite like the whales. I like Destiny being like short-sighted. And like keeps bumping into the wall, and then the other guy who can't use his sonar powers, and then he can, and then he's basically Daredevil, which I thought was quite cool. And I love that bit where Dory's in the pipes, and they're like, "Oh no, there's a monster coming towards you!" And it's like, "No, go the other way." And then like it's obviously Marlin and Nemo, and they're like all hugging, and they're like, "Oh no, it's eating her alive! Oh, I'm so sorry, Dory." That's classic. Other than that, yeah, I think if you compare it to the first one, like the shark stuff is a standout thing. All the stuff with the turtles was really fun. All the stuff in the fish tank was really fun. You get a bit of stuff with the whale, the mines and all that kind of stuff. Whereas, yeah, I think this one is a lot more, I think it's a lot more slower paced, isn't it? Because it's like she's just trying to find her parents at that marine place. They're trying to find her. Everyone's just chilling. There's not as much urgency in this one, I felt.
Yeah. Well, that's why it should just be called Finding Dory's Parents, because really, that was the whole plot. It was achieved 15 minutes before the end. There's a small side plot where she gets separated from Marlin and Nemo, and they're trying to find her. But again, that equates to, what, two or three scenes in between?
Yeah, because I was trying to remember how that even happens. I think, isn't it, because they end up at the marine place or nearby, and, oh yeah, the people pick up Dory. That's why she ends up in the thing. So they're just trying to find her again. But I think, you know, and I think the emotion that's got me, you know, she has those flashbacks of her family life, and then she realises that she left them, and she feels really sad about it. And I think it's quite heartbreaking, you know, when it's little baby Dory and she's lost, and the other fish are trying to help her. She keeps forgetting. And then, like, years and years go by. So then when it gets to the scene with the shells, I was like, oh, they've put the things so she can find them. And then they show up. And that, honestly, that was very emotional. I'm not going to lie. And yeah, it's like, well, you wouldn't end the film there, but it's like, that's kind of the emotional climax, isn't it, really? But yeah, the whole point of it is that Marlin and Nemo are a family as well. But I do think you're right. They kind of spent too long ending the film from there. It shouldn't have been that much, I don't think.
Yeah, because it was literally, oh, you're on the edge of your seat from the start because she keeps disappearing. Mm. And you think that's how they're going to lose her, but then they don't. And then she finally gets there. She's separated. Oh, no. They're trying to find her. But then she's not bothered about them. She's just like, I must find my parents. Spends ages trying to actually find them, which is fair enough. Mm. You know, you need to have a plot. And then, yeah, like I said, it's a really emotional bit when she finds them and, you know, you got the shells. It didn't hit me like other movies have, but I think, you know, it's still very good. And then, like, what was it from there? Like, she finds Marlin and Nemo first, doesn't she? And then she loses them again.
It's because she finds Marlin and Nemo, and then they go to the quarantine bit. Because that's where all the other Tangs are, but then the parents aren't there. And then I thought that was quite good, where she's like kind of in shock and she doesn't really know what to do. So then Marlin and Nemo get stuck with the bluefish. The octopus guy ends up as well. So that's where Dory ends up going to find them. So she goes through the pipes, doesn't she? No, she would have done that earlier.
No, that's when when she's in the quarantine, she slips out, goes straight into the main sea bit. And that's where she's now then searching the same place she was at the start, trying to find them.
Yeah, because they're all in the truck. Oh, that's right, because she's with the whales and they're hatching that plan to try and launch her in and then use the otters to distract all the drivers. Which,
yeah, it's by that point, it's just ridiculous.
It literally jumped the shark, which you know, is quite fitting. This was like, what are they doing here?
Like, I'm aware it's a Pixar movie, but I think even with Finding Nemo, it's not realistic, but it had a boundary. Whereas I think the moment you have an octopus and a bluefish driving a lorry,
That was very Toy Story, wasn't it? But that was kind of believable. I think, yeah, because if you compare it to the first film, the big thing is where they're all caught in that giant net. And, you know, Marlin's like, oh, let's just give up. And then Dory's like, no, swim down. And then all the other fish swim down. And it's quite a good moment, I think. And then they actually break free from the net. And it's like Marlin learning to trust people that actually he's so pessimistic. They should actually try these things. And it saves the day. Whereas in this one, it's how we're going to save the day. We're going to use whales to launch us onto the road. Otters are going to distract the van while we break in and then drive it around for a bit. And then it'll launch into the ocean. And it's just a little bit sillier, I think, which isn't as good.
Because again, she gets reunited with them, doesn't she? And then the guy, Marlin, gets the bird to come on in. And then because she doesn't get out, all of a sudden we now got ourselves a whole plot point. It was just a lot of people kept finding, then losing, then finding, then losing. I mean, I think in 20 minutes, she found then lost Marlin and Nemo three times.
Yeah, because they talk for too long, and then the door shuts, and it's like, oh, for Pete's sake. Because I felt she got to the open ocean bit, and it's like, oh, where are my parents? Oh, they're not here. Oh, they've gone to the quarantine. Okay, and she gets to the quarantine. Oh, they're not here. And it's like, okay, that's a bit annoying. I think all the other stuff was justifiable, because she keeps remembering things, and then that makes her go to a place, even if it's like maybe not in the right order or not like the correct thing that's actually helping her. So I thought that was actually quite an interesting way of like memory loss being a help but also being a hindrance. But yeah, later on it's just very frustrating, because it's like, well, we've already found them, we should be wrapping this up now, but now we're launching the van off a thing, which is it's fun, but it's a bit annoying.
Yeah, I think my three words for this movie is good, frustrating, the same. I was trying to think what my third word would be, but yeah, I said it all earlier, really. It's entertaining, but it's nothing on the first one, other than it is the first one, kind of, just a bit more frustrating, a little bit more sad in places, but also not sad enough where it's like it hits you emotionally, just more like a bit ugh. Sad.
Yeah, that's a good point, because the first one, it starts sad and you get some beats, and it is obviously emotional when Marlon and Nemo reunite, and you know, all that kind of stuff. This one, I don't know. Yeah, it was emotional when she meets her parents again, and other than that, it's like, because again, like the octopus guy, you don't get really much from that either. So I don't know. So I was thinking how this compares to maybe Incredibles and Incredibles sequel. Like, I think everyone obviously prefers the first one. I think it's just a better film. And the second one is trying to do some of the same, some different, but the whole vibe of the film is just a bit different and not as good. Whereas the first one is very clear with what it's trying to do. And I think that's the same for this as well, is that this could have been blander. So I'm glad it's not, but it's not good enough to be, you know, up there with like Terminator 2, Toy Story 2, Empire Strikes Back kind of material.
I agree. But anyway, unless you, do you have any more points you wanted to say?
Not massively. I quite like the cast. I thought the voice acting was fun. Clearly, the cast of Modern Family were popular at this time, because a few of them were voicing it, like Ed O'Neill does the voice of Hank, who's the octopus, and Albert Brooks does Marlin, but they sounded quite similar. I wondered if it was just the same guy at one point. And yes, that. Like, I noticed Idris Elba as one of the seals, which was fun. I like when they let Gerald back on the rock for a bit, and I go, it's nice, yeah. Isn't it? Right, now get off. So that was all fun. The bit of trivia I found, not much on this one, which I think is quite telling. I think the first one would have had quite a lot of trivia. I guess the only kind of interesting thing for here was about the fact that Hank is missing a tentacle. So Dory calls him a septopus. Apparently, the reason for this is because they could not fit 8 tentacles onto his body, the animators. So they actually rewrote the backstory to account for this. And there's like a similar thing where they had to do like a stop motion one back in the day. So that was interesting. I wonder what the kind of computer limitations for that are. But the rest of it is just stuff like the voice of Nemo grew up, so they had to get a different guy. And there's the usual thing like A113 is in all these films and all that kind of stuff. But yeah, the rest of it's just like references to things. And I think this is the problem, is that a lot of the older ones, they'd have more interesting Easter eggs, whereas these later films is very much like the MCU as well, where it's like a reference to like an old comic book or someone else, which is just a bit boring, I think. I don't know.
I concur. But of course, those are our thoughts, and we hope you've enjoyed them as much as we haven't. But of course, we would like to know your thoughts on this movie. So, Seb, how could we learn their thoughts?
Oh, well, if you speak Whale, you can go to Let's... No, I won't do that. You can go to Let's Talk About 2022 at hotmail.com, or visit us on Instagram at lta.podcast. Feel free to message us with some recommendations or some thoughts. Maybe vote on polls. I don't know if I could do a Finding Nemo versus Finding Dory one, because I feel like that would just be 100%. But I'm sure I could ask something.
I'm sure you can. And I'm sure you'll remember this week as well.
Yes.
But of course, what we'd like to do now is find out what we're going to be watching next. So allow me to spin that wheel to see what we're watching.
Oh, I can't wait for another not as good sequel.
You know what, you say that. Oh, no, it's not. I thought it was going to be something else. Oh, fun. Great. So it was on Big Hero 6 for ages, and I was like, oh, that's good. Before then, it was on Ralph Breaks the Internet. So when he said not as good sequel, I thought, oh, that's funny. But no, we're watching Bolt.
Oh!
So we still had a few crummy Disney movies left. That's another one out of the bag.
Great.
So yes, have you seen Bolt before?
I think so. The problem is, I can't remember if I've seen it or if I've just seen Turbo.
Oh, okay. Well, I've seen it once and I remember it being okay. Well, I look forward to seeing that and, of course, when hearing your thoughts.
Yeah.
So listen out for that episode coming soon. But, of course, what we'd like to do here at Let's Talk About is make sure that you're leaving here with something that's just going to brighten your day. In a world full of negativity and terrible things, this is going to get you through it. So, Seb, what are some words of wisdom you can share with us?
Actually, I could do a good one. I'll quote Dory for this one, because she has a lot of quotes. I forgot to mention a line I did like, actually, from earlier, is where she says, for a guy with three hearts, you're not very nice, because they actually have three hearts. No, my words of encouragement from Dory would be, just keep swimming. Just keep swimming.
And there you have it. Thank you very much for listening, and we'll see you next time.
Bye.